Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Who are we studying about today?
Jesus.
Who do we want to be like?
Jesus.
Who do we want to serve like?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Today, we're talking about Give Me a Sign, Part 2. Give Me a Sign, Part 2. And we're going to read kind of a lot of scriptures today, and it's not a bad thing. I know a lot of people want to hear the stories, want to hear jokes, but Scripture's what it's all about. We want to learn about Jesus. And Bible says this, that all Scripture is about Him. So I want you to look for Jesus in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. I want you to find Him today, and I want Him to come in and do a work in your life. Let's open our Bibles to Mark 8, 11 through 13. And then we're going to read another scripture from Judges chapter 6. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with Him, testing Him. They demanded that He show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove His authority. When He heard this, He sighed deeply in His spirit and said, "Why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign." So He got back into the boat and left them. He got back into the boat and left them, and He crossed to the other side of the lake. Give Me a Sign, Part 2. That's our message. In this message, I want to answer three questions. Does God still give signs today? Is it okay to ask God for a sign? And should we be seeking signs? Should we be following signs? Okay, those are the questions I want to answer today. The next story we're going to read from Judges is about Gideon. How many of you know anything about Gideon? Heard about Gideon? You know maybe a guy named Gideon in school? Well, the story is about Gideon. And he was a coward. He was a man who had a lot of questions. And his nation was occupied by enemy forces that would destroy everything he would work for. So let's say this. They live in agricultural society in those days. They would sow wheat. And an enemy would come right before the harvest and just trample everything. Or burn everything. They would sow corn, let's say. Probably not corn, but let's go with corn. And the enemies would come, Midianites would come, and they would just cut down the corn, take it away. So these people lived in poverty, in the occupation forces. They were hiding in the caves, Bible said. And so was Gideon. He was hiding. And out of nowhere, let's go with verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now, hold on. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. You would think that Gideon was like Samson. Based on that greeting, you would think that the angel thought it was a Samson. Maybe he confused him. Maybe he thought it was, Samson was not even born yet. That was to come in 100 to 150 years later maybe or so. So he's talking to a coward, a man who's living in fear, hiding from his enemies. And God comes to him and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." This is a great point because some of you today are feeling low. You feel like you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough money. You don't have a good place to live. Your body is hurting. The circumstances are bad in your life today. You would think that that's how God looks at you. But no. When God comes to this man who was broken, who is fearful, we can say he was a coward. The angel of the Lord calls him, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." If you're feeling today hurt, if you're feeling emotionally drained, you have no more energy, no more strength to live this life, I want to speak to you with the words of the Lord. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. That's how God looks at you. The world may look at you and say, you're nothing. But God says, you're a mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And if the Lord is with you, who could be against you? Maybe your marriage isn't struggling. But if the Lord is with you, the devil cannot have victory in your life. Maybe your children are going crazy and you feel like horrible mom or horrible dad. If the Lord is with you, then you are a hero, mighty man and woman of God. That's what you need to understand. I know this week the devil has been telling you, many of you, that you're nothing. But today, I feel like telling you from the Spirit of God, mighty woman of God, the Lord is with you. Mighty hero of God, the Lord is with you. How do you see yourself? If you see yourself defeated, that's already a victory of the devil in your life. If you see yourself as I'm victorious, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, then you get strength from that. Amen. See, we think when we're weak, when we're depressed, we're somehow strong. No, When we confess that the Lord is with us, we can do all things through Christ. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's what gives us strength. The Word of God mixed with faith gives you power, makes you mighty, increases might in you. You know, weak might, weak might. Amen? God wants to speak to you through these words. I don't know why I got stuck on this word, but I feel like no matter what you're going through, He's with you. He's with you in prison, in jail. We have a few brothers who are in jail today. He's with them there. Sometimes He'll speak to you more in jail than will speak to you in church, because you're listening then. Amen. He'll speak to you at rehab more than He'll speak to you here, because here you got a cell phone and you're not writing pastor's notes. You're just, who's starting a game next? Broncos, yeah. Amen. Let's continue. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." I want this phrase to be the heart of this message. Watch Gideon's response. Look at this. "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Have you ever asked God that question? Lord, if you're with us, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to innocent children? If the Lord is with us, where is He? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." Second word for you today is this: go with the strength you have. Some of us are deceived by thinking that as soon as I get more money, as soon as I become stronger, as soon as I get a better job, that's when I can do something with my life. And so we live our life on hold. And days go by and we spend time by that TV just clicking till our fingers start hurting. Or texting till we got carpal tunnel syndrome because you're texting. Because we're waiting for strength. We're waiting for God to strike us with a magic potion from heaven and then give us this strength of a Samson. But see, God is not interested in you becoming strong. God is interested in becoming strong in you. God is not interested in you becoming mighty. He's interested in becoming mighty through you and in you. He says, if you decrease, I will increase in you. God is not looking for very educated, smart, rich, famous people to use. God is looking for you. God is looking for Gideons today who are hiding from Midianites in the cave because they're afraid. God says, go with the strength you have. So pretty much, He's answering questions before Gideon even asks them. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israelites from Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. So look the way he looks at himself. Maybe you look at yourself that way. I'm the least. I'm nothing. I'm the youngest in my family. I'm the dumbest in my family. I'm the black sheep of my family. I'm the troublemaker of my family. I'm nothing, Lord. What does the Lord say? Go with the strength you have. My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you. See, when you go on your own and try to do something, that's a whole different thing. But when you go in the little strength that you have, but the Lord is with you, but God is with you, then what can stand against you? Satan is powerless against people who walk with the mindset, the Lord is with me. At work, the Lord is with me. In a hospital, the Lord is with me. Anywhere I go, the Lord is with me. About a month ago, my daughter, and this is the night that I end up babysitting her. Usually I'm with my wife at home at night, but she had to leave and I end up being with my little daughter. She was like a year old and she couldn't breathe. She just had a hard time breathing. And so my mom came and she panicked because I was like, it's okay, mom, it's gonna go. And mom started going into this hysteria. Oh, take her to the hospital, she's dying. And she brought that panic into me. You know what moms can do? I mean, she really panicked. I wasn't planning to take her to the hospital. She had a hard time breathing and it was getting worse. I've never took a child to the hospital. Tanya always goes, you know, if they have a little cough or something, she goes with them. I'm at work usually, you know. I just, how is it? You know, phone conversation. And here I'm home alone. My mom comes, panics. Take her to the hospital now. So I take her, and I can see it's getting worse. My baby is having a hard time breathing. She's taking short little breath. Not enough air is going into her lungs. I go to the, not emergency, but acute clinic. They see her. They give me a whole bunch of paperwork. I sign them as fast as I can. Just, you know. And they're like, oh, it's going to be 45 minutes to an hour wait. And I'm like, can't you see? She's not breathing well. There's nothing we can do, sir. Just take a seat. And I'm boiling inside. I want to go there and yell at them. And I had to sit down. And something told me, just sit down. And when I sat down, the peace overcame me like crazy. I prayed and I said, Lord, she's young. Heal her. Do something in her life right now. Nothing happened to her, but to me, such peace came over me. Then they sent me to the emergency room. Then in emergency room, things were starting going crazy because the doctors were running around. They didn't know what it was. They were putting masks on, gloves on. You know, they almost made a quarantine out of my little daughter for not breathing. And I'm sitting there in peace. And later I thought, man, why don't I feel more panic? You know, have you ever thought that? Why don't I panic more? Why don't I be upset more? Because the Lord was with me. The Lord was with me. Sometimes in life, you will have to go through. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean nothing will bad happen in your life. It doesn't mean that there will be never any sickness or things like that. But one thing you can count on, if you're a child of God, the Lord will be with you. And even at your weakest, you will be strong. Verse 17, Gideon replied, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign. This is where it is. To prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. He answered, I will stay here until you return. Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat, and with a basket of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under a great tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth, the soup, over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of his staff in his hand, and fire flamed from the rock and consumed all he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. Then Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord. He cried out. Verse 33. So afterward, the army of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel and crossed the Jordan, camping in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of clan of Abizar came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. These are the states of Israel, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. Then Gideon said to God, if you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel, as you promised, prove it to me this way. I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with the dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel, as you promised. And that is just what happened. When Gideon got up early in the morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out a whole bowl of water. Then Gideon said to God, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground it is wet with dew. So that night, God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with the dew. Here's the story of Gideon. As far as I can see, Gideon is the only man in the Bible who asked for a sign when the Lord appeared to him just on his own. Because today we're talking about signs that honor God. Is it okay to ask God for a sign? Okay. In all other cases in the Bible, we see that God is against people asking for a sign. In this case, however, God allows it for Gideon to ask for a sign. So today I'm going to preach 2 points. Number one, There's signs. When you ask God for a sign, it's good. There's times when you ask God for a sign, it's permittable, but not encouraged. So my answer today is this. There is one time that you can ask God for a sign that God is pleased with, and one time He permits it, but He doesn't encourage it. Why? Because God wants believers to live by faith and not by miraculous signs. Amen? And I will show it to you today. Number one, when can we ask God for a sign? When is God for us asking for a sign? Okay? Number one is when you are doing evangelism or you are going on a missions trip, it's okay to ask God for a sign. Number one, when is it okay to ask God for a sign? Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. This is the prayer of the disciples of Jesus. They're praying. They want to go and do ministry work. They want to do evangelism work. This is what they said. Oh, now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servant great boldness in preaching your word. Next, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When is it okay to ask God for a sign? When you know tomorrow there's a test coming and you pray, Lord, make snow tomorrow so I don't have to take a test. That would be my sign to know that you're real. When we were younger, and I've done it too, I know. When I was young, I would say, God, if you're real, make the light blink. Didn't blink. Some people say, God, I need a job today. Prove to me you're real. Show me a sign now by giving me a job. If you don't, I don't believe in you. You're coming to God in doubt already when you're doing that. And you're asking for a sign in doubt. God is pleased not by you asking for a sign. That's not faith. God is pleased when you are walking in faith and believing Him to give you a job. Don't ask Him to give you a sign. Believe that He will give you a job. Believe that He will guide you and lead you. You want to ask God for a sign? Ask Him when you're going to your neighbor and saying, God, I'm going to tell my neighbor, invite him to church. Lord, somehow, some way, prove to my neighbor that you're real. Show him a sign somehow that you are real. See, that's the difference. You see the difference? When you say, God, show me a sign, and then I'll judge if you're real or not. Or you say, God, I know you're real. I'm going in faith. I'm going to talk to my neighbor Earl, and I'm going to tell him about Jesus, invite him to my church. Somehow, some way, speak to him. Give him a sign. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a dream. Some people came to me and said, Pastor Alex, God appeared to me and said, go to church. Had that happen. Seriously. Well, they came to church for a few weeks and then they left. They're not here today, the guy who said that. All right. Because signs are not, listen, signs are not what makes us believers. It's the gospel that makes us believers. Amen. So if you want to see God do miraculous sign, don't just ask for your own amusement. Don't just ask because you're delaying becoming a believer. You're just delaying. You love the life that you live. Say, God, I'm going to preach to my neighborhood. And you provide signs, whatever you want. You see what I mean? The question arises here. Why doesn't God today show off signs like He did in the old days? That was the question Gideon had, right? What did he ask? Where are those miraculous things, God, that our parents told us about? Where are those signs and wonders? We heard about Egypt, how you let the Israelite, my people, out of Egypt. Where's God today? And I want to try to answer this question a little bit today. When you're going to preach the gospel into places that never heard it before, you need signs and wonders. More than when you're going to your neighbor who probably heard 100 times about Jesus. Probably grew up in a Christian family and just walked away as a teenager or something like that. Okay? Imagine with me this. You're going to the people who've never heard the gospel. That's what disciples were doing. They were going to cities, towns that worship pagan gods. And here you come to them and you're trying to preach to them Jesus. They have no historical reference of Jesus. They've never heard from anybody about Jesus. Imagine you went to a town in India somewhere. They've never heard about Jesus. They've never heard about Jesus. And you start preaching to them. And they have 2,000 gods that they're worshiping. Yeah, in India, there's a lot of gods there. They worship cows. We eat them. You're saying, Jesus, Son of God, died for your sins. They have no way of knowing. What will they ask you to do? Show us. Who is this God? Is He real? The only way they will believe is what? They want to see signs. They want to see wonders. They want to see God manifest himself. So God does signs and wonders. Why? Just to prove that he is real, to help them believe. But as soon as the gospel has been heard and the signs have been done and the history has been written, guess what? God doesn't like to show off with signs and wonders, because it wouldn't be faith then. It would just be, oh yeah, I saw a trick. I serve a God of tricks. God is trying to produce faith in us. He's trying to grow men and women of faith, not men and women who like to see more signs. Because if you don't have faith, you'll always be looking for a new thing. You'll be always looking for a new sign. And so when Pharisees came to Jesus, they already saw many signs, and yet they still didn't believe because they didn't have faith. Faith is what makes us believe and walk in God. And faith is what makes us receive great things. Bible says this, these signs will follow those who believe. Does God want to prove himself and show himself with signs and wonders? Yes, he does. Does God still do miracles today? Yes, he does. But he doesn't do it when you say, show me a sign. He does it when you believe in him and you walk out and you look at your life back, because when signs are and wonders are happening sometimes in our life, we don't see them. We don't see them. We look back, look at your life back and see how many times the Lord has delivered you. I remember I used to climb trees a lot for a living. I was a tree trimmer and I was on a tree. And the night before, I woke up at 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep and I felt like you need to pray. And so I didn't know what to pray for. I was like, Lord Jesus, bless my family, my mom, my dad, my kids. Not married then, no, sorry. Future. You know how we pray. And so I was praying, and then I prayed in the spirit a little bit because I didn't know what to pray for. Next day, I climb a tree, and it's by high power wires. You know those heavy-duty power wires? I climb that tree, and I rope a branch down to, you know, rope it down so I don't destroy landscaping. And the branch does not disconnect from a tree, but falls on the high power lines. And the whole tree starts hissing, like, the whole tree. I look at leaves, swear to you, I wasn't high. I wasn't drunk, I don't do drugs, never have. I saw leaves burning from the inside, hissing. Every leaf was energized. Vibration is going through me. I feel it. I yell to my coworkers, drop the rope, let it fall. The tree is lit up. They drop the rope, and somehow, miraculously, the tree disconnects. The branch disconnects from the thing where I didn't finish cutting and falls this way down. And I was like, oh, thank you, God. And the Lord reminds me and says, remember last night? I climbed down of that tree. I fell on my knees. I was like, Lord, I'm testifying to all my employees. Hey, guys, listen, something miraculous happened. Last night, I was praying. I didn't know what it was for. And if you look at your life, you'll have many miraculous things that God has done for you. You should have been an accident. You were in a rollover, but you didn't die. You came out without a scratch. My brother flipped the car like 7 times, and he walked out without a scratch. He used to have migraines before the car accident. After the car accident, all the migraines were gone. To this day. It's not Eli. It's my second brother. God will show off. What you have to do is you have to believe him. You want to see miracles, signs, and wonders? Believe God in your life. Don't come to him and say, show me a miracle, like a bratty, spoiled little kid. Show me a sign. Be real. Otherwise, I'll do what I want. What? God says this, these signs shall follow those who believe. If you're a believer, you don't have to follow signs. Some people are always looking in the news for a sign. Oh, a sign. Or a river turned red. The moons, the four moons, they're always looking for signs and wonders. Jesus said, these things will happen. You follow me. You look for me. You seek my face. You trust in me. You believe me for big things in your life. And watch how I will show off with signs and wonders in your life. God is more interested in you asking him for him instead of you asking him for a sign. If you ask for a sign, Jesus did what to Pharisees? He turned around, got in a boat, and walked away. You look for Jesus. You seek for Jesus. You believe in Jesus. And you'll get signs and wonders as a bonus. That's just part of your life. Some of them will be big for some people. For some people, just be regular, small things. God restored my marriage. I got a great job. He helped me with my anger, with my bitterness. He helped me with my drug addiction. He helped me with my alcohol addiction. It could be small things. He freed me. I'm free now. Instead of asking him for a sign, ask him to lead you. Instead of asking him for a sign, ask him to lead you. Say, God, I don't know where I'm doing with life. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I trust you to lead me. The steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered by the Lord. God, should I marry this person or not? Don't ask for a sign. Say, God, lead me. If she's not the right one, lead me away from her. You got to be able to walk away when he's leading you away. Because some of us are so in love, we just walk away. If he says no, say no. I told you a story where I was praying for this young lady in my church, pastor's daughter. Lord, I think she's the one. Is she the one? And at one morning, I had a weird dream or whatever it was. I heard God say, she's not the one. And I woke up scared. I said, that's not God. That was the devil. Now 20 years later, I'm so glad I didn't marry her. She's great and all that, but I'm so glad I got Tanya. Jeez, she's not here. Don't tell her that, but I'm so glad. And when he told me no, I still didn't believe it. I called him a devil. That's your pastor. Maybe you shouldn't listen to us. Tested yourself through the word of God. Allow him to lead you. Allow him to lead you. If things are just moving ahead, if God is not breaking it apart, a lot of times in business and in business world, and I would ask God, God, should I do this decision? And God would say, yes, do it. Or he wouldn't say yes, he would just lead me there. Or sometimes he would just, things just fall apart. Allow him to lead you. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Philippians 4:6, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. That's faith. God, this is what I need. And thank him for what he has done. And then Bible says, and then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guide your heart. Meaning God will tell you if that's the job you should take or not. He'll guide you. If that's the person you shall marry or not. He will guide you and lead you. Don't ask him for signs. Jesus was frustrated with Pharisees who would always bug him, show us a sign. He would turn around away from them and leave them. If they didn't ask for a sign but believe in him, he would have done signs anyway and wonders anyway. He would have healed their sick. He would have healed their mentally broken people. He would have done all that they needed. Have him lead you. Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet. Maybe you're going through the storm today. He's Lord over the storm too. He can command the storm and the waves. If you believe him and trust him, say, God is for you. Speak to the storm and say, storm, you will not destroy me because my God is with me. Speak peace to your storm. Speak strength to your weakness. Speak healing to your diseases and sicknesses. If you have a sickness in your body right now, I would like you to place your hand on your body. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal the sick today. Manifest with your signs and wonders. Not because we don't believe in you, but because we do. Because we trust in you. Heal the sick. Heal the knees, Lord. Heal the elbows, the shoulders, Lord. Heal the brokenhearted, Lord. Heal those who struggle with in their mentally sick. Heal those, God, today. I speak healing to your mind. I speak healing to your body in the name of Jesus. The word of God says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Put a hand on your neighbor. Put on the back of your neighbor. Put your hand on the back of your neighbor right now. In the name of Jesus. Everybody. In the name of Jesus, whatever they need, God, say it, whatever they need, Father, do in their life in the name of Jesus. Do it in their life in the name of Jesus. We speak healing. We speak your power. We thank you for the testimonies that are coming and for those that were already said here today, Father. in the name of Jesus. Those who are struggling with addictions right now, Father, come on, church, let's pray. Those who are struggling with addictions right now, we speak your healing. Father, break the chains, God, that are binding people with alcohol, drugs, God, sex, porn, God, whatever people are struggling with, break them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Christ alone. We come to Christ alone for all that we need, Father, who is our Savior, Christ alone. And Father, we thank you today for everything that you have done in the life of our church. Thank you for the Spirit that's moving here. I can feel Him from seat to seat, from heart to heart, from mind to mind. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the angels of the Lord in this place, ministering healing, deliverance, freedom to your people. Hallelujah. 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 I have a weird word. You're sitting here and you've done an abortion and that's been hunting you. And you're like, God, will you forgive me? Will you heal me? I'm just broken. Today is your day of deliverance, says the Lord. Today is the day that He wants to heal you. Today is the day that He wants to come in and erase everything. What's in the past is in the past. God wants you to live a new life in Christ. God wants to give you new destiny, new future. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, set that mind free, God. Because if you forgive, if Christ has set you free, then you'll be free indeed, Father. So I thank you for freedom, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing of the minds. I just felt like healing of the minds, Lord. For emotional healing, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Cornerstone, last time. Weak made strong in Savior's love through the storm.